Welcome to Healing Ties, a show that encourages you to live happy and healthy. By focusing on the emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial aspects of life, we tie four important components together, like a bow tie. And who isn't happy when they're wearing a bow tie? This not only creates a healthy life for each one of us, but will also create healthy communities. And now, here's your host, Chris McClellan, the Bow Tie Guy.
Well, greetings everyone. It is Chris McClellan, the Bow Tie Guy, for another episode of Healing Ties Radio. Thanks for joining us. I want to say hello to all our friends across the pond on UKHealthRadio.com. We really appreciate your support, and be on the lookout for a very special episode of Healing Ties that will be coming over to the UK. It is an interview that was conducted 3 years ago, actually, by our good friend Denise Brown from caregiving.com. It's about end-of-life wishes, and it's an interview that was conducted with my partner, Richard Schiffer, and I. You know, Richard passed away in March of 2014. This interview was conducted in December of 2013, and I think it gives a very pointed description of having the end-of-life conversation, especially with your caree, your partner, your spouse, and why these conversations are so important to happen sooner rather than later. And our conversation today is kind of a prelude to that. It's my guest, Jack Tater. He's known as America's Safe Retirement Coach. He's also people-tested media. I think he's probably the best publisher in the whole wide world, but Jack's written a book about the talk. And, you know, the talk is often not a single discussion, but rather something that's ongoing and detailed. The talk will help create a safe retirement for parents and peace of mind for the entire family, but also provide adult children with the understanding they need when considering their own retirement and an appreciation of the value and importance of having the talk with their own children. Like Jack's previous books, Safe Retirement, The Four Keys to a Safe Retirement, and The 10 Joys of a Safe Retirement, Jack's new book, The Talk, will change the way you think about retirement. The talk will bring families together so that they stay together. Jack, it is great to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Chris, thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words. And I just want to say I appreciate everything you're doing and everything you're doing to help those who are involved in caregiving. You're doing some wonderful stuff, and I appreciate you having me involved today.
Well, you've been such a great supporter of mine, and I just appreciate being a part of the People Tested Media and having this conversation about the talk, something that not everybody's comfortable with. But what really is having that conversation, Jack, having that about the talk?
Well, the talk is really something that happens between adult children and their parents. This is not the talk about sex that parents often have with their children. That's done late. That's done early in life. This is typically the talk that is often not done, or let me take that back, is often done, but it's done later rather than sooner. And what I've been trying to do is to have families have this talk a lot sooner. And the talk is essentially about planning for later life issues around the parents. And I involve the adult children or promote the need for adult children to potentially either drive the conversation or make sure that they have the conversation. A lot of times parents, they may drive it or they may not drive it. I mean, the reality is AARP did a survey and they found that 2/3 of adult children had never talked about matters of later life issues with their parents. And so these are vital conversations that need to happen. And, you know, they're conversations around everything from, you know, where's my money going to go in the end? You know, who's going to get the China set? What type of funeral arrangements do you want? And obviously, as I think you mentioned earlier, it's not a single conversation. It's often a series of conversations. But the key thing is to get the conversation started earlier rather than later. I've just had so many situations where the conversation has happened at the the worst moment, which is in the hospital when someone is near death, rather than at a point in time when everyone has their senses, everyone's thinking about what they really want to do, what they want to have happen with their later life, which is, I think, more appropriately done at a time when the parents are either retiring or contemplating retirement. And I think it's an opportunity for adult children and parents to sit down and work out these later life issues and concerns that they have.
It is amazing, Jack, that you think in today's age, that especially with the means of communication that we have, that people don't have these conversations. They wait to the last minute. There's fear in these conversations. And actually, when you're dealing with, especially if it's end of life, you don't want to be riding to the hospital in an ambulance having these conversations. You want to be prepared for the unexpected before it happens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the reality is, look, this is there's many reasons why this doesn't happen. Many people say, look, it's just plain awkward for me to have this conversation. I can never find the right time to do it. But the reality is also it's become a legal issue. So many parents who are retiring, they will often initiate it by saying, look, I sat down with an estate attorney. We need to work this all out, and they will bring the children in. But I say to the children, if your parents haven't done that, then you need to step up. And a lot of times the children will say to me, you know, if I do this, my parents are going to think that I have certain motives or a certain agenda for having this discussion, that maybe I want something that my other siblings don't want. So it's important that when you do broach the subject of the talk with your parents, that you do it in line with your siblings. And now, obviously, you know, there's a lot of issues around siblings, but people have got to recognize they've got to act like adults when it comes to their parents. So you've got to pull everybody together and say, look, we need to have this conversation. We need to discuss this for peace of mind for our parents, and as well as some legal issues, because I have seen too many estates get depleted strictly on legal fees because people didn't have the talk, or siblings were battling about something that at the end of the whole battle, they can't even remember what they were upset with each other about, and they've never talked again. So it's a time for people to really step up as adults and say, we need to have this conversation and do this.
That's so true, Jack. We've seen so many instances of families that are broken because they didn't have the talk. And as I wrote in my book, What's the Deal with Caregiving, you know, the importance of having the talk, it can be as simple as telling your parents or telling the one that you're caring for that in order for me to be able to follow what your wishes are, I have to know what those wishes are. We have to document right. them. And you said it so correctly. Sometimes these conversations, it's just not a one-time conversation. It has to be, you have to ease into it because not everybody has that comfort zone. But I believe that when you convey the message that in order for your wishes to be followed, I need to know what those are because that'll bring me comfort and ease, it kind of changes the perspective of the conversation.
Oh, without a doubt, because I think that the talk has to always happen from the perspective of we're not looking to get something for ourselves. We're looking to make happen what you want to happen. So to go to your adult parents and say, look, we want to make sure that all of your wishes are met. Just tell us what you want to do with this type of either your estate or with what you have here. What do you want to have happen? Because that's what's important. And always focus in on the fact that, you know, your parents have worked for you and done things for you. And now here's an opportunity for you to help them achieve what they want to do with their wishes. And a lot of times it's something that they haven't really thought about, or they have thought about and they'll sit down and discuss it, or you'll have to move them along a little bit. And as you know, and I've talked a lot about the talk and also my four keys to retiring safely, which are very much in line with you. There's really four perspectives that I think that people should think about when they're retiring, when they're in retirement, and also when they're discussing the talk and having the talk. And And it's not just around financial matters. You know, a lot of people think, oh, this is going to be around financial matters, and I'm just going to have to discuss the financial situation with my parents, and that's going to be very awkward, and they're going to think I want to do something with their money. That's an important part of it, but that's not the only part of it. Probably the most important part of it is talking to your family about health and wellness and what they're doing to also address their health situations and making the adult children cognizant of what their health situations are. And that ties into a lot of caregiving types of things and either plans for down the road, but also to help them maintain their health in retirement. And as well, that ties into their mental attitude, to just make sure that people are staying positive in life. And then what I found from my own personal experience with my own parents is what was very important for me is to just ensure that your parents, and this is a part of the talk, is stay involved and keep a network of people around them, because we've just seen so many people in their later years who just become hermits or become sheltered, and it's not a healthy environment. And not only that, but it also runs into the potential for scams and situations like that that can drain a person's estate. So it's very important that they stay involved. So those four aspects are conversations that need to happen. And obviously, like I said, this is not something you have in one sitting, but it at least should provide a battle plan for you about the topics that you should be discussing with your parents.
I know that you know, our listeners, and you know this, Jack, but it does help repeating. One of the most important role that a caregiver plays is that as an advocate. But in order to advocate properly, you really have to know what the wishes are of the person that you're advocating for. And that's why it's so important to have this information, this conversation documented, so that when you are in that position where you need to have this information, you know exactly what to do. How do you start a conversation like Jack? I know you need to use open-ended questions, but goodness, what is your advice on how to start this conversation?
Well, you know, the thing that I have found that has worked for people, and there's many prompts, and in my book, Having the Talk, there's many prompts to have this discussion. But the thing that I have found that has worked better than anything is just referring to a situation that's happened to someone or someone's family and saying, this is something I don't want to have happen to you. When I bring up the talk to people, invariably, 9 out of 10 times they say to me, oh, I have a story about something that happened in my family or a neighbor or a cousin or a relative. I can tell you a story about, you know, why that's so important. And like I said, 9 out of 10 people will say that. And what I have found has been one of the best ways to begin the conversation is to potentially, if let's say there's a situation either with a coworker at work, a neighbor, or maybe even a relative, that you say, oh, it's a shame what's happening to Uncle Louie because he never laid out his estate, or seeing his children fight over something. You wouldn't want that to happen to you, Mom or Dad. And of course they would say no, and say, okay, well, then they have a situation that they're very much aware of, that they see the implications of it, and they say, I don't want this to happen to our family. What do we need to do? And if you think of that, I would say that probably 9 out of 10 people will say, I know just that situation that has happened to either a friend or a family member of my parents or someone I know, where maybe I'm driving my mom to the supermarket and I can say, oh, you know, Lois at work, her mom just passed away and she's having this horrible situation with the estate, with all of these things. And it puts it in a very concrete term. And then parents will normally say, I don't want this to happen to you. What do we need to do? I have found that has been a great way to at least force the discussion and to start laying out, here's what we need to do so that that doesn't happen to you. I saw that in my own family situation, where my mom's best friend basically had a situation where they didn't discuss this, and they saw all their assets go because of taking care of some nursing home issues and some things along those lines, long-term care, because they never had that conversation. It tore the family apart. And my mom said to me, I don't want this to happen to us. and that moved us. So I think that's been a way that's helped people out.
Well, you know, and the analogy there is the storytelling. You know, with caregivers, we all have this innate ability to understand each other, even when our journeys are different. And that's through storytelling. And when you can convey a story to your parents or to the person that you're caring for about a similar situation that could happen to them, then I think it's so true. They make that connection. They see the importance. And they can have that conversation freely and openly, knowing that in the end, their wishes are going to be followed, and it's going to be easier for the person, whether it's the healthcare proxy, whether it's the estate planner, who's ever in charge, it's going to be easier for them as well.
It makes it very tangible because they know the person. Potentially, they could envision the person or see the person, see the pain on their faces because of how this has torn their family apart, or how what they wanted to have happen is not going to happen. And it's very sad. So it makes it very tangible. And it's storytelling is a huge part of it, because you've got to make this real for people to recognize that there's not an agenda here. There's not an ulterior motive on the part of the adult children. They really want to have happen and stay focused on what the parents want to have and ensuring that this doesn't happen to their family. So you're right. I mean, storytelling is a huge part of it, and bringing in real concrete examples. And I would venture, I would say that, I bring this up to people, and invariably, like I say, 9 out of 10 people say, I've got a story. I've got this happen to me. I would say that probably your parents or you know of people that are that are going through similar situations that you can bring up as an example, and it really hits home for people.
You know, sometimes there's a need to bring in an objective third person in these conversations. That I don't think that's important to do right at the beginning, but if there's kind of a stalemate or a resistance, sometimes you might need a geriatric care manager or an elder care associate or a retirement planner like you. That's somebody that can sit on the third side of the table and just use the experience that helps form the conversation in a different way. Because sometimes when you're especially in the intensity of a caregiving situation, and you're having to deal with these end of life issues and financial planning, it's just not heard the way that you like to express it.
It's very true. And there are a lot of people that can play this intermediary role. Potentially it could be, someone who the parents trust in terms of taking care of their finances, their health issues, a family friend or something along those lines. I spend a lot of time, as you know, talking to financial professionals and financial advisors, and I feel that they can play a role here to help move this along. Then it's not only from the financial aspect, but because of the concern about healthcare costs and all of those things eating into people's estates down the road, it's very important for someone who you trust and is taking care of your financial issues to bring this up. And what we find is most of them don't do it. So, I mean, I would say to people out there who have a financial advisor, if your financial advisor hasn't asked you a simple question like, who is going to be the executor of your estate? And if they haven't done that, they're not doing their job, because they should be asking that question for a number of reasons. First, to ensure that your wishes with what you want to have happen with your estate happen after things, after potentially things happen, whether you die, whether it's the husband or wife passes on, but what ends up going to the children does go to the children. It also is an opportunity to then, for the financial advisor, who typically is usually working with the parents, to then at least create a connection and a relationship with the younger generation. Most advisors don't like to do that because they feel, well, the younger generation doesn't have any money. But the reality is the clients want to make sure that they are able to pass on their legacy and to make sure that the type of financial advice that they've gotten, that they've trusted, now goes down to their children. So I think it's very important for professionals, financial advisors, accountants, to bring up that question to just ensure and provide a level of comfort to the parents that when they're gone, the right thing is going to be done with the money that they've created and provided and nurtured over all those years, as well as they're going to be able to provide the same expertise that they provided to the parents, they're going to provide to the children. And there's real peace of mind there. And we're not seeing, we're seeing more and more advisors doing that, but not enough of them. It's something that I talk to people about because I think that there's a way for a team effort to make this work, to forge the talk. And also, as I mentioned before, because of healthcare costs are rising, long-term care issues are out there. These become health issues, but they become financial issues that can really undermine a person's legacy and a person's estate. And they need to be discussed with people who really know the lay of the land and can outline a lot of the financial and legal implications of all of these matters.
We're continuing our conversation with Jack Tater, America's Safe Retirement Coach from People Tested Media. And Jack, you just touched on something that I think combined my next three questions. So I'm just going to put it into one. This is really about maintaining a positive attitude in retirement.
This is not just about maintaining a positive attitude. It's very important to do that, but it's also very important to stay in sync with what's going on around you, and to create a legacy for yourself and for your family, and making sure that what people have planned to have happen beyond their lifetime does happen. And invariably, that's not going to happen if you don't have the talk. And, you know, there's a lot of tools out there. I've written about websites that are out there. There's a website called planbeyond.com, which lays out all the paperwork for you. It has all the paperwork that's out there for you. So there are, you know, and it talks about questions about how to donate your body to science, how to get a death certificate. All of these things are out there. They are all resources that people need to use. But all these resources will only work if you've had the discussion and if you've sat down and if you've looked at those financial issues, health issues, attitude issues, and also the need to build a social network and an involvement with others. So it's important to do all of these types of things because ultimately, you know, I know you know, fortunately you do a lot in terms of helping people with caregiving, but caregiving sneaks up on people, up on people, or it just hits them. And it's not something that people can be prepared for. But if you have these discussions earlier rather than later, you can at least outline responsibilities, chain of command, all of those types of things that you outline in your books. You can do that sooner rather than later and prepare for it ahead of time. So hopefully it won't happen, but invariably it does happen. And what we've seen from parents is they keep saying, I don't want to be a burden on my children. I don't want to be a burden on my children. And invariably, if they don't get the plans in place, they can end up being a major burden on their children. But getting the plans in place and creating a lot of those things that you outline to do effective caregiving and taking care of the caregivers can be done earlier than rather than later.
Having that conversation early rather than later is so important because, as you mentioned, especially as it relates to caregiving. Caregiving just happens. There's nobody that I've talked to that actually plans to be a caregiver. It's not on anybody's bucket list. It's in everybody's rear view mirror. They don't want to see the future when it relates to caregiving. And having your ducks in a row, having a plan in place, especially as it relates to finances and end-of-life wishes, will make the caregiving journey so much easier. Don't you think so, Jack?
Oh, without a doubt, because at least then you've had a discussion about a chain of command and who's going to be involved, who's not going to be involved, so that it just doesn't fall on someone and they say, this was not something I was prepared for. No one's ever prepared for caregiving, as you know. But at least if you can do some planning ahead of time to just understand what potentially your parents want to have in this situation, who can be involved, how they can be involved, how you can work together as a team. It just makes a very difficult situation a little bit easier. So, yeah, you've got to – these are major reasons why you've got to have this conversation. Hey, look, you know, if parents weren't comfortable having the talk about sex with their kids, okay? They weren't. I can speak from my own experience, all right? But now it's a but it was a responsibility. Now it's a responsibility, I think, for adult children to just ensure that their parents have the talk with their parents, because the implications are just as huge, if not bigger, around this. And so if the adult children realize the parents haven't talked about it, jump up and say, we need to have the talk. If the parents are saying, we need to discuss this, the kids aren't stepping up, we need to sit down, we need to have this conversation, do that. It's not one side or the other has to create it, but it has to happen.
So, Jack, how can our listeners find more information about your book and People Tested Media?
Well, what you can do is the book is available on Amazon. It's called Having the Talk, The Four Keys to Your Parents' Safe Retirement. You can also go to a website at peopletested.com or my website at safeforretirement.com as well. Those are probably the best resources. I also have Safe for Retirement, The Four Keys to a Safe Retirement. It's available as well.
So have you had the talk? Have you had the talk yet? No, this isn't the one that you have with your kids about sex, as Jack mentioned, hoping you actually know more than they do. This talk is the one adult children have with their parents about their parents' retirement and aging issues, such concerning medical proxies, health care, and estate planning, wills, trust. And there's a fact that 70% of people over 65 will require long-term care at some point. Don't delay. Have that talk today with your loved one. Jack, thanks for joining us for this episode of Healing Ties.
Chris, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for everything that you do.
And this concludes this episode of Healing Ties. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon on Blog Talk Radio. Make it a great day. Bye-bye. Jumping off the track.